And now, Don Blackwell.
Do miracles exist today? First, let's review very quickly the definition of a miracle. According to World Book Dictionary, a miracle is a wonderful happening that is beyond the known laws of nature. And that's exactly what it is. It is an event outside of the realm of natural laws that is caused by divine influence. And it's very crucial that we understand this at the beginning of our study. When we're talking about a miracle, we're talking about something that is outside of the realm of natural processes. And so if we refer to a child being born, that's not a miracle. That is something that takes place according to natural processes that God has set in motion. Now, our second point, our second question is, do we believe in miracles? Sometimes it is said that members of the Church of Christ don't believe in miracles. And it's certainly the case that that is a false accusation. The Bible teaches many miracles, and we cited several of those last week. And we believe every last one of them did indeed occur. But you see, to say that we believe in Bible miracles is different from saying that we believe that miracles still exist today. Because the fact of the matter is that God has told us in His Word that miracles have ceased. Now that leads us to the third point where we're going to spend most of our time today, and that is to point out that the Bible teaches that miracles do not exist today. Now last time we talked about the purpose of miracles, and that's one of the proofs to show that miracles do not exist today. What was the primary purpose of miracles according to the Bible? The Bible tells us that miracles existed primarily not to alleviate human suffering, but the primary purpose of miracles was to confirm the Word of God. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, when the Lord sent His disciples out on the Great Commission, He said to go and carry the Word into all of the world, and listen to what the Bible says. And they went forth and preached the Word everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word with signs. Now, that is the purpose of a miracle in the Bible, to show that the message that they were carrying was not something of their own creation. It wasn't something that came from the mind of man, but it was something that originated with God. And so as they spoke this message, they then could perform a miracle to show that indeed the power of God was with them. Now, since all of the Bible has been written, and it's not necessary for a message to be confirmed over and over and over again, then it is not necessary to continue to have miracles. The Hebrew writer asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard Him? How? How was it confirmed? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, friends, he says the message was delivered and it was confirmed with signs and wonders and miracles. Now, the Word then has been confirmed according to the Bible. And since only new revelations need confirming, then the primary purpose of miracles has been done away. Now, the second word that I want us to notice to show that miracles have been done away is the word perfect. We notice the word purpose. Now, let's notice the word perfect. And when I say the word perfect, I'm referring to a very plain New Testament teaching that miracles have ceased. I want you to look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. The background to this particular section really begins back in chapter 12 and verse 27. And if you'll read chapter 12, 27 through chapter 13 and verse 3, you'll notice he is talking about miraculous gifts that existed in the first century. After discussing these miraculous gifts, he points out that there was apparently a controversy that existed among some in the first century, some first century Christians, about who had the best miraculous gift. And he talks about speaking in tongues and miraculous prophecy and other things. But he points out to them in 1 Corinthians 13 that love among brethren is more important than any of these miraculous gifts. When we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, he tells us that when that which is perfect is come, these things which are in part shall be done away. He says we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, when he speaks about knowing in part and prophesying in part, to what is he referring? Well, he's talking about miraculous knowledge. He is talking about a miraculous prophesying that took place in the first century. He says, right now we have miraculous knowledge and we prophesy miraculously, but we do it in a partial way. We have God's Word in a partial way. He reveals it to us miraculously and we speak what He gives us at that moment. But then he says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, the word perfect here in the original language means complete. It is a word that means having attained the end or purpose or complete. It can refer to anything in finality, anything brought to its end. Now, I want you to consider this. He says right now we have God's Word in a partial way. We have prophesying where God gives us part of His message. And we have this knowledge where God gives us part of His message miraculously. But when we have the completed message, that which is in part shall be done away. And so the Lord very clearly tells us in this passage that we have the partial message of God through these miracles, but when God's Word is completed, when it is perfect, then these miracles, this partial revelation, will be done away. And friends, today the complete Word has been given. Today we have the full revelation from God to man. We call it the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, it's the word that means complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so, by having the Word in its complete form, we have everything we need. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10 tells us, when that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect, that which is incomplete, that which is partial, the miraculous, shall be done away. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things which pertain unto life and godliness. Friends, that which is perfect or complete has come today, and so that which was in part has been done away. And so the word perfect shows that miracles do not exist today. After considering the word perfect, I want us to consider the word pass. Now, I'm talking, of course, about the passing on of miraculous abilities. Another proof that miracles do not exist today is the fact that there is no one living to pass on miraculous power. In the New Testament times, miraculous power was given to the apostles and once to the household of Cornelius to show God's acceptance of the Gentiles. But other than that, the Scriptures indicate that miraculous ability was passed on only by the laying on of the apostles' hands. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, who had miraculous ability, went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. Now listen to verse 12. Verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. But I want you to notice this. Even though Philip had miraculous ability, he was not able to pass on that miraculous ability. In fact, it was necessary, according to verse 14, that two of the apostles, Peter and John, come down from Jerusalem so that they could pass on miraculous ability to other people. Verse 17 says, when they came down, they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And of course, you may remember how Simon the sorcerer saw what had happened, and he tried to buy the ability to pass on that power himself. But of course, the point that we're making here is that only by the laying on of the apostles' hands was miraculous power given. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Rome saying, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. Now, do you see what he said? I long to see you so that I can give you some spiritual gift. He had to be there in person so that he could lay his hands on them and give this miraculous ability. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the putting on of my hands. He said you've got a miraculous gift, a miraculous ability that you received by the laying on of my hands. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with other tongues and prophesied. Now, the point that we're making in all of this is that in the New Testament, the passing on of spiritual gifts came only by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And since Paul was the last apostle chosen, and there is no one living today who is an apostle or who has the ability to pass on miraculous power, then the spiritual gifts no longer exist, because who's going to give them? They came only by the apostles' hands, and the apostles have all departed today. Friends, there are many proofs in the Bible that teach us that miracles do not exist today, and this is just one of them. We always need to ask the question, what does the Bible say about this subject?